Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
BallerLifestyle.com. It's a Baller Lifestyle podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 536 of the show. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you more than you will ever know. We would love it if you would support us by joining our Red Circle subscribers only portion of the show. Click the link in the show notes. It's $5 a month. It's still $50 a year because I never changed it to 55. And honestly, I don't know how to do that. So, and you got to expect that I'm going to try to figure it out and make it. So if you buy the whole year, you get 2 months for free, which is way too much. It should be 1 month for free. And I said a year ago that I would change it to only 1 month for free. But look, I'm an artist. I'm not a technical guy. I'm amazed that we even have it up and working after it was stolen by another person when we used to have Patreon. And it was stolen every month. So look, I'm a bit of a laissez-faire type of dude, but so I don't know. Just if you want to support us, click that thing and you can save $10 if you pay for the whole year. Also, give us a call. 949-464-TBLS. 8257 is the phone number. Additionally, you can send us an email. We'd love to get emails from you guys. Some good email content this week. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. is the email address. That's it. That's all the housekeeping. I am joined, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing well.
Yes.
I have absolutely nothing to talk about. So back to you.
Okay. I'll fill it up. This Saturday, my dad. So a couple months ago, my dad reaches out. He lives in Arizona. And he's okay. Like, hey, he goes, it's my 50th high school reunion is coming up.
Just skipped my 30th.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yes.
I graduated from high school, but I on the night of our 10th reunion, a friend of mine called me and she's like, hey, let's go to that thing. And I'm like, I didn't buy a ticket. And she's like, who cares? And so we just went anyway. And the girl from the girl that accosted me in the donut shop and left that voicemail that's been played on the show had just left when I got there, thank God. But I did notice that even though it had only been 10 years before, a bunch of people were coming up to me and saying hi to me, and I had no fucking clue who they were. So
how big was your graduating class?
That's like a good question. That's a good question. I want to say maybe like in the 400 range.
Okay. See, mine was 150. So I knew almost
everyone. That's a pretty small high school.
Yeah.
Did you go to private school?
No.
Jesuit high school? No.
No. Oh. No public. I'm a public school guy.
Yeah, good for you. So my dad calls me and he's like, "Hey, my reunion is August 3rd, Corona Del Mar High School, Newport Beach, California, the Sea Kings." He goes,
"It's a good nickname."
Yeah, it's great. He goes, but it's a real douchey school. But he's like, hey, it wasn't really. He kept telling people while he were there. He's like, I grew up on the other side of the bay because, I'm getting ahead of myself. So he's like, can I stay at your house that weekend? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. And we don't have like an extra bedroom, but my kids are only here half the time. And my son, he has a girlfriend and he pretty much lives at her house. So his room was going to be available, so he could stay in his room. So I'm like no problem. And then like 2 weeks ago, he texts me and he's like, "Hey, do you?" Because he wasn't bringing his wife. They kind of like you and Michelle do for weddings. They do divide and conquer type attendance. So his wife wasn't coming. Good for her. And he goes, he texts me a couple weeks ago and he's like, hey, do you want to go with me to this reunion? He's like, I know. And he's like, He goes, it's at a yacht club, so it'll probably be kind of nice. And I'm like,
Judge Smales will be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly how it was. I go, no, I don't. And he's like, okay. Yeah, no problem. And then he hit me up again, like a little bit later. So, hey, just, you know, just making sure. Do you want to? And I was like,
Do you need me to go to this?
Yeah. I text my super hot girlfriend, Cheyenne. I was like, hey, am I doing anything that night? And he kind of like guilted me. And I realized he didn't want to go alone. Right. That was the thing. His best friend, we're going to get too deep into this, but you got to get the details. His best friend, who's also my mother's boyfriend, had just had surgery. And he's like, Bob might not be able to go. And that's when I realized, oh, he's doesn't have anyone. He needs me for this, you know? And I'm like, yeah.
The main reason I skipped mine.
Yeah.
I didn't have an overwhelming desire, but like maybe if everything lined up, but my best friend and Michelle wouldn't be there. So I'm like, you know, yeah. I might have a situation where I'm stuck talking to someone and I got no out.
Yes. Yeah. 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 No one to save me. Yeah. It's a bunch of people you don't want to talk to.
Right.
So he talked me into it. And then I was like, why am I going to this thing? But whatever. So we go, we take an Uber because we're like, I'm like, hey, is this thing open bar? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, it's, you got the drinks tonight because I'm wingman in this thing for you. And I'm like, we're taking an Uber because we're going to get, you know, I'm going to need to be satiated here. So we go to the thing and it's a, like these people, Ed. So it's his 50. Old. Yeah. He's 50 right, year. So
he's 68 year olds.
Yeah. 68 year old people. These people were fucking old, dude. And from what I could tell, nobody knew each other. They're like, who are you again? Like who? And there was a big in memoriam thing of like all the people that died. What and I'm a like, bummer. I'm like, this is like 2% of the people that have died. You just couldn't get in contact with everyone else that died. It's mostly people that have died. But while I'm there, this happened to me at least 4 times. Somebody would come up to me and go, because like people were like eyeing me because I was, look, I didn't look like the rest of the people there.
They probably thought, oh my God, who's the guy who didn't age as much?
Yes. So at least 4 times somebody came up to me and were like, so I don't remember you. And I'm like, and I looked right in the face and I said, do I look like I graduated high school in 1974? And they were like, oh yeah, I guess not. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here with my dad. And also I had to do this several times where people were like, now who are you again? Whose class were you in? And I'm like, what are you talking about? People? And look, I know, you know, I'm almost 50. I know I've hit a wall in terms of my appearance. You know, I was in a difficult relationship for a while and it aged me. Not as much as it aged the other person, but still, like, look, I don't, you know, I still feel like I look pretty young. I got a lot of gray hair, but I don't think I look, and anybody would ever mistake me for being 68 years old. And all night long, people are hitting me up.
Real ego boost of a night.
Yeah, where'd you grow up again? I feel like I would remember you. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, what?
You should have been like, are you kidding me? I lost my virginity to you. Like,
yes, we banged.
You should have doubled down.
I did.
Remember?
Yes.
You used to do all that mouth stuff?
Yes. I definitely was like kind of looking. I'm like, there's got to be at least one of these old bags that's held it together. You know, 60, like 68.
You can find like, you know, is there a Helen Mirren out there?
Yes. Yeah. Vanna White. Like there's got to be one that's, you know, kept it that's. Done her yoga and ate healthy the whole none.
And was rich.
Man. Yeah, and was rich. Well, they're all rich, but no, there wasn't one. There wasn't a single. There wasn't anyone. So that was my Saturday night. Now, also, I think it's time we're going to introduce a new segment here, Ed, because we did a couple weeks ago, and we do this all the time, but we don't, we haven't, it doesn't have a name, but we did, and I'm going to have, I already reached out to our dear friend Brad in New York, Brad in Florida, who's just a genius, and he's going to build, make us an intro song for this, because a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Menendez brothers.
Yeah.
And everyone loved that. We did, you know, we take these little meandering trips sometimes down memory lane for things that have happened. Then
while you're on Menendez.
Yes.
Remember when I said there was something about him, the one who's completely bald, that creeped me out?
Yeah, because he looks like Nosferatu.
No.
Yes.
Kind of looks like the Nosferatu version of Wooly Willy. You know, the guy that you like can put hair on?
No. I gotta look this up.
It's like you take the little magnetic thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you drag it.
Yeah. And so the picture I saw of him, he has the smile of Wooly Willy. And I'm like, but you killed your parents and you're in jail and you've got this big Wooly Willy smile. And that's what creeped me out. It's not that he's bald. It's just he looks like Wooly Willy.
Yes.
Like a demented Wooly Willy.
I get what you're saying. You were making fun of him for being bald. I get that 100%. Yeah, but he does look a little creepy. So then last week I think we're going to call this That's a Thing That Happened. We did a That's a Thing That Happened last week with Michael Vick. And when we revisited all the details of the Michael Vick dog thing. Well, I saw something today, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I thought it would be fun to go in depth on the perfect game of – or the almost the 28-out perfect game of Armando Galarraga and Jim Joyce because, Ed, I saw today that Monmouth University, which is in the great state of New Jersey.
I grew up I took some summer classes there. It's like – 15 minutes from my house.
Yeah. A hero professor at Monmouth University. Hold on. There's an article about it here.
A professor there.
Oh, maybe you know this guy. A hero professor at Monmouth University to use this semester to champion the case of Armando Galarraga, his 28 out perfect game. And petition because I didn't know this. He petitioned the commissioner, Rob Manfred, to restore Armando Galarraga's perfect game and put him in the list of pitchers of perfect games. And I believe Rob Manfred. Hard. Yeah. They could have done it after the game. So for those that you don't remember. So first of all, Ed, when do you think this game was?
This game happened 8 years ago.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking like, I thought like 2015. It felt like about 2015. In a Major League Baseball game played on June 2nd, 2010.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. That's quite a while ago. Yeah. At Detroit's Comerica Park, Detroit Tigers pitcher Armando Galarraga nearly became the 21st pitcher in Major League Baseball history to throw a perfect game. Facing the Cleveland Indians, Galarraga retired the first 26 batters he faced.
The first 27.
That's right. Yes, exactly. His bid for a perfect game was ruined one out short when first base umpire Jim Joyce incorrectly ruled that Indians batter Jason Donald reached first base safely on a ground ball.
He was staring right at it.
He was right on. He's right in perfect position. Galarraga instead finished with a one hit shutout in a 3-0 victory. He faced 28 batters and threw 88 pitches, striking out three. Yeah. The game is sometimes referred to as the 28 out perfect game, the almost perfect game, the extra perfect game, the imperfect game, or simply the Galarraga game. Joyce was tearful and apologetic upon meeting with Galarraga after the game, after realizing that he had made an incorrect call. Galarraga was forgiving and understanding of the mistake, telling reporters after the game, nobody's perfect. Many others throughout Major League Baseball subsequently voiced their support for Joyce.
And it should be noted, for those who don't remember, the guy had like the Hulk Hogan mustache.
He did. He actually did. There is a great, let me see if I can find it. I didn't save it, but there is a great Jim Joyce.
He's safe, brother.
Yeah, there's a Jim Joyce. Oh, yeah, it's right here, Ed. So on the 10th anniversary in 2020, they went back and ESPN did a story on Jim Joyce or on the game.
Yeah.
But listen to the picture, take in, if you will, this picture, this beautiful picture painted by the writer. Dateline, Portland, Oregon. Jim Joyce's garage smells of old cigarettes and motor oil. It's early December, and he is at home playing solitaire on his laptop, which sits on a folding table that doubles as a desk. The wafting odor belies the comfort that the two refrigerators, flat screen TV, Harley, Bunny Rabbit, countless Winston Light cigarette butts, and solitude provide. The space has become a necessary refuge for the man whose action on the night of June 2nd and reaction brought instant fame. What normal used to be, Joyce says, isn't normal now.
Yes.
7 months ago and 2,400 miles away, the veteran Major League Baseball umpire cost Armando Galarraga a perfect game in Detroit. And every day something trips Joyce's memory about his devastating mistake and the subsequent fallout from the death threats. There's nobody that's that big of a Tiger fan.
I will say, remember, I one time wrote an article about Back to the Future and someone told me to kill myself.
That's right. I once went. Travis Rogers was, I used to be on Travis Rogers' radio show in Houston, and another show on the station had, they would do like one of those, like kind of like we do here where they would draft things.
Yeah.
And they would have like all the characters from the radio station come in and make selections for what they were going to draft. And it was just random shit that people would draft. And then they set it up where I would be the last caller. And I called in and basically I had just heard what everyone else drafted. And I just roasted everybody else that had been on the show. That's what they told me to do. And afterward, Ed, on Twitter, I was roundly attacked by the listeners of that radio station where they're like, you're not one of us. You don't get to talk shit. Like, they were so pissed that I was making fun of their thing when that's the whole reason I was there, was to make fun of their thing. So me and Jim Joyce, we get it. He's what's funny too, is apparently this was 7 months after the game. This guy's life was a living hell. If only one of the other umpires that day, the crew chief, had been like, hey, Jim. Let's get it right. Let's huddle up. There's a perfect game on the line. Not that that should matter, but things don't happen in a vacuum. You missed a call. Let's fix that.
And it's important, the context on top of him, on top of him fucking up, and it would have been just the 21st time. Galarraga was out of baseball by 2012.
I know.
Yeah. This guy, I'm looking, his career earnings, $2.75 million. Like,
yeah,
he played, looks like, three full seasons in baseball and a cup of coffee. He pitched 42 innings 1 year, 24 innings another year, and 8 innings another year.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and he threw a fucking perfect game. Many others throughout Major League Baseball subsequently voiced their support for Joyce. The sportsmanship demonstrated by Galarraga and Joyce earned them widespread praise for their handling of the incident. If I'm not positive, to add insult to injury, I believe Galarraga got like an ESPY or something. Like he was celebrated at the ESPY. Something. There was something along those lines. Here's what happened. Okay, Detroit scored on a second inning solo home run by Miguel Cabrera. He hit a lot of those. Two more runs scored in the eighth inning when Austin Jackson singled, then advanced on an infield hit by Johnny Damon. Jackson and Damon both then scored on a single by Maglio Ordóñez. That guy could hit too.
Wow.
And a throwing error by Shin-Soo Chu. Isn't he the one that had all the DUIs? I could be wrong.
I don't know.
There was one Korean guy that had a bunch of DUIs. I think it might have been Shin-Soo Chu. In the top of the ninth inning, Tigers center fielder Austin Jackson executed an over-the-shoulder catch on the run to retire Cleveland's Mark Grudzelanik.
Wow. A lot of famous guys. And yes.
I know.
Shin-Soo Chu.
He got a bunch of DUIs, right? Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. I think he got, he couldn't play for a while. There was something.
He doubled Ohio's legal limit.
He was
.201 and Ohio's legal limit was .08.
Wow. He was getting after it.
I don't want to make trouble on the team. Every person has to learn. I regret this happened. I apologize.
Look, Uber wasn't that prevalent in 2010. All right. We don't have to worry about that.
After speaking to each player in the clubhouse, so he went from person to person to talk about DUI, which is funny because it reminds me of a time after a company Christmas party, this like intern went from person to person apologizing for his actions, and everybody's like, who the fuck is this kid? And what did he do? Like, nobody knew. Yeah.
It just makes it worse. Yes.
Yes. So like the rumors spreading about this kid, they're like, what the fuck was this guy doing?
Yeah. You mean he took his dick out at his desk? Yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah. That's crazy.
Nobody even knew who he was. And he went person to person to apologize for that.
That's so awkward. Mark Grudzelanik for the first out and preserved the perfect game. Jackson's play has been compared to Dwayne Wise leaping catch of the wall in the ninth inning that preserved Mark Burley's perfect game in 2009. You know, it's every perfect game, there's one of those plays.
Yeah.
There's just one like super sick defensive play that preserves it. After Mike Redmond grounded out for the second out of the inning, I believe Mike Redmond was a catcher, and I remember him because he was a catcher on the Marlins, I believe, when they won the World Series. And I believe he might have become a manager later, but I think he was known as one of those guys that would just shake his dick at everybody in the clubhouse. He just like would get it out and just start wiggling it around. And like,
I have a feeling he'd like to show people baseball players.
Yeah, they're not very smart. Grounded out for the second out of the inning. Jason Donald hit a soft ground ball that first baseman Miguel Cabrera ranged far to his right to retrieve. Cabrera threw to Galarraga, who was covering first base. Donald was ruled safe, but video replays showed that Cabrera's throw beat Donald to the bag. Donald advanced to second and third base on defensive interference during Trevor Crow's at bat, and Crow grounded out to Brandon Inge, ending the game in a 3-0 victory for the Tigers, but no perfect game. So Monmouth University,
everything.
Yeah.
Like, so this, how often does it happen? They're like, oh, they removed that error and turned it into a hit. Like after the game is over,
they do that
shit
all the time, and they could do it now. Okay, so. In the fall 20, this is from the presentation and proposal to the commissioner of Major League Baseball to officially recognize Armando Galarraga's perfect game of June 2nd, 2010. I got to say, Ed, I'm looking at, this is like the PDF.
Yeah.
I mean, this is looking like they haven't advanced too far with the clip art and the pictures and the shit
Monmouth
that
University?
I was doing. Yeah. That I was doing back in the day. Yeah.
I don't want to be smirch.
Yeah.
I took a summer class there because I knew I'd get an A.
Yeah.
I was like, accounting 201 is really hard at Maryland. Let me go take that at Monmouth University when I'm home for the summer.
That's pretty smart.
I can take it hungover and fit it in between lifeguarding duty, and I'm sure I'll get an A. Easily. Nice.
So this is a few years old. In the fall 2021 semester at Monmouth University, Professor Lawrence R. Jones and 16 undergraduate students spent a semester together in a course entitled Law and Society. A major part of the class focused on social advocacy and how the spirit of rules and laws may sometimes take priority over hyper-literal interpretations in order to promote fairness and equity. During the course of study, the Monmouth University students analyzed the case of the former Detroit Tigers pitcher Armando Galarraga, who pitched one of the most famous games in Major League history, the 28-out perfect game of June 2nd, 2010 against the Cleveland Indians. During the semester, the students were privileged to host and hear from Mr. Galarraga as a guest speaker. Mr. Galarraga shared with the students, well, he's probably bussing tables down to the cafe or the pizza place on the corner. Mr. Galarraga shared with the students the inspirational story of his personal journey from Venezuela to the major leagues and his highly acclaimed response after losing credit for a perfect game, which he had validly pitched. To this day, Galarraga's conduct is considered one of the greatest displays of respect and honor in sports history. The professor and 16 students from Monmouth University's class submit this presentation to the Honorable Commissioner of Major League Baseball. The enclosed analysis sets forth in detail 10 specific reasons why Major League Baseball can finally add the name of Armando Galarraga in its official record of honored athletes who had pitched a perfect game in Major League Baseball, along with a detailed positive footnote explaining the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances surrounding this unprecedented case. So Rob Manfred didn't do it. Now, Rob Manfred is widely regarded as a huge piece of shit, but this is an even bigger reason why because with a stroke of a pen,
it's done.
It could be done, you know, and who's going to quibble with that? Like there's probably some fucking nerd in some basement
Bob
somewhere.
Costas.
Yes, that piece of shit. Fuck Bob Costas. Bob Costas would probably, he probably takes issue with this because he's like, well, the umpire called it on the field.
I remember being at a game with my dad when it was 6 years old. And, oh, cool. You tuned in for today's game or did you hear about my childhood?
Exactly.
Guys, I was spinning yarns about his shitty childhood.
He's a real yarn spinner. And he's a real purist. You know, and fuck a purist. No one likes a purist. Nope. Anyway, that's the thing that happened. Let's talk about some people who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. Just tell us who was dead now. It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daly has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Ed, who died?
Well, first I just want to update that, you know, I have skipped the T. Because of the hot summer weather, I just like haven't been doing it.
But hey, could you switch to iced? Yeah.
Nah. I either do hot tea or not. But I was like, I could go for some tea. And so I made it and I finished it while we were doing that Galarraga story. And now I'm sweating. It's too hot for tea.
It's so fucking hot. I'm cooking in this because I do the Baller Lifestyle World Headquarters office is directly in the afternoon sun. So I have shutters in front of me, but the heat coming off the windows radiating directly into my body. And you know what? Normally I do this show topless because that's just how I roll in the home. I usually just have some shorts on when I'm home. And we're in discussions to bring this podcast to YouTube, in which case I will graciously wear a shirt
or not.
Yeah, no, I will. I will wear a shirt because nobody wants to see that. Who died?
Much like last week, very light, which is good, but the tsunami's coming. Yep. We just lost a guy named Bobby Banas. He was a West Side Story and Mary Poppins dancer, 90 years old.
Wow. Huh.
Mary Poppins, I'm guessing he was a dancer with the chimney sweeps, and the fact that he was a dancer from West Side Story and Mary Poppins tells me he probably was
not survived by a wife and children.
A chimney sweep.
Yes.
Upside down variety.
Yes. That is what I guess. West Side Story.
What's going on with that movie?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's one of those things that you hear about. It sounds very gay. It's dance fighting, so maybe, and it's Shakespeare, right?
Maybe that's it. Let me explain it.
Yes. Yeah.
I might have to do that one because I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's like Shakespeare, you know, the one girl who's associated with one gang. It's, yeah, you know, Romeo and Juliet shit.
Yeah.
But like there's dance fighting. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's dance fighting. Isn't Warriors, the great film, The Warriors.
Right.
That's West Side Story, but they actually beat each other with like baseball bats and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when it was not safe to be on the New York City subway. Yeah. They were going from the Bronx to Coney Island. And it was like, a hellscape, and that wasn't exaggerated like Escape from New York or anything. Like that really was how shitty it all was.
Oh yeah. 70s. Yeah. That's crazy. Anyway, RIP Bobby Bannis. Let's talk some sports. Run. Yeah. Nice long run.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports this week?
Tom Cruise will be rappelling off the Stade de France during the Olympics closing ceremony on Sunday to promote the Olympics moving to LA. So he's doing like, hey, Hollywood, coming to you.
Well, here's what happened. Everyone saw the opening ceremonies and they're like, there's no way anything could possibly be gayer than this. And Tom Cruise is like, hold my beer while I rappel down a thing. Like,
I get my own stunts.
Yeah, I get that he's a big movie star, but do people in France know who he is? Like,
everyone knows Tom Cruise. He's the biggest movie star, even though he's just an absurd person.
Yes, he.
It's just an absurd person. Like, you do your own stunts. I remember it was some actor, like, in an interview, and they're like, you do your own stunts? And he's like, they pay stuntmen to be there and do their job. Like, why am I doing somebody else's job? Like somebody's there paid to do the stunts. So if I decide to do my own stunts, it's like they just paid the guy for nothing. He's like, why do I have to, you know, fall out of a moving car?
Yeah. And there's guys that do that for you. What was I just? Oh, I was watching Teen Wolf the other night.
Oh yeah.
And when Michael J. Fox could actually play basketball as the wolf. And it was a guy that was like 6'1" as the wolf.
Tomahawk dunks.
Yeah. doing 360 dunks. I was like, oh, that's not Michael J. Fox at all. And I remember we did a podcast about it with Jay Stewart, right? And I feel
remember the end scene when they're celebrating and then someone in the crowd has undone pants.
Yeah.
Like their pants are just wide open in the crowd.
Yeah, way too many people attending high school basketball games, first of all. And then I get it. It's like the big championship and there's Mick McAllister standing under the basket for some reason while
not allowed.
Scott shoots free throws. Yeah. But then they're celebrating at the end and it's exclusively like 37 to 39 year old people in the crowd celebrating a victory at a high school basketball
game. One of them who's just jacking off.
Yeah.
That guy's doing a cleanup.
One with open pants. Although I will say Jay Tarsus as Coach Finstock, one of the underrated performances of the 1980s.
When he's like talking, Oh, it's so good when he's talking. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, he obviously has his great three rules to live by, which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's also the time where he's saying he's thinking about quitting. And he's like, you know, I had a guy who considered quitting. And then he's like, so what happened to him? He's like, well, he quit. He was third string. You're a starter. Stay on the team.
So good.
So good.
It's so good. Yeah, look, it's Tom Cruise. It's enough. We don't need you rappelling off things. We don't need rappelling.
And I saw that they're going to like splice it. It says in the article. I was reading it. The live broadcast will then reportedly cut to pre-recorded footage of Cruise zipping through streets of Paris on a motorbike, then on a plane bound for California, clutching the Olympic flag all the while.
Oh, yes.
When he arrives stateside, he disembarks the plane by chucking himself out of the window before skydiving down to the Hollywood sign.
Oh, man.
Then passes the flag to assorted athletes, including a cyclist, skateboarder, and volleyball player, as they relay it around Los Angeles.
LeBron James better not be involved. Well, we didn't talk about that enough, that LeBron James got to carry the flag or whatever.
Yes. There are like 5-time Olympians. People are out there grinding.
Yes.
This dude, it's like, yeah, play a few games. It's fine.
He
doesn't get enough attention.
Yes. It's crazy that a guy that has had the spotlight of the world on him from a very young age never seems to be able to get enough attention. He always has to find more ways to be in front of everything, to fucking pretend like he's read books, to pretend like he knows how to play chess.
Another picture on Instagram of you with the first page of Moby Dick opened. It's always the first page. He's just got
always
a book opened
at the
first page.
Of course. He's the worst. He's going to find a way to be involved, Ed. Mark my words, because he's carpetbagged it with the Lakers these last 4 or 5 years, whatever. It's in L.A. He's gonna find a way to shove his stupid face and his paint on hair into this fucking L.A. Olympics that nobody wants. Have it somewhere else. Anyway, what else is happening, Ed?
Staying with the Olympics. Yeah. A French pole vaulter's massive penis knocked the bar over and ended his Olympic dreams. It's a substantial dong.
It's like some things don't, because you hear about this, right? Okay. Like, hey, do you hear about that?
Yeah,
you
know, like, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's his dick. And you look and you're like,
yes. Comedians are making jokes about it. Luckily, you know, back in the days of the great Sergei Bubka, they would wear like some dolphin shorts and a tank top when they were doing when they were doing the events. Now, for whatever reason, everything that takes place, the required uniform is a skin tight lycra thing. There was one swimmer.
It's gone too far for some things.
Yeah.
But loose clothing could potentially knock the ball over.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you could tuck in the tank top, whatever. This guy, they're like, oh yeah, his cock knocked off the pole. This man should have had this thing taped down. He should have tucked. Like
it's a big rig.
Yes, his big, uncut, French, uncircumcised hog is an actual hindrance to his pole vaulting. Like, this can't be the first time he's had a problem with it, because the man has a huge penis. The 21-year-old, 21 years. Imagine being 21 years old and having the whole world know that you have a giant penis. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry you didn't win the gold. He's like, buddy, I just won all the gold.
Yes. He's printing
money now.
I often talk about the rumor that I just want the rumor. This guy's got both the rumor and the ability to provide answers to the rumor, because his penis is really that big. And you get the slow motion of it.
Oh, it's flopping in there.
It's got some weight to it.
Oh, there's girth.
Yes.
There's everything.
There's length. There's girth. There's everything you need. The 21-year-old competing in front of his home crowd looked all set to clear the 5.7 meter and take a major step towards the final of his event before disaster struck. As the Frenchman prepared to relinquish his pole, his manhood grazed the bar with enough force to send it crashing to the floor, thus ending his hopes of a medal. Amirati had already cleared two heights before his bulge brought a premature end to his competition. He eventually finished 12th with a height of 5.6 meters in Group A. Yeah, but he's got a length of 8 inches and a girth of probably six. Robin Emig and Tybalt Collett, Amirati's compatriots, meanwhile, recorded heights of 5.6 meters and 5.75 meters. Yeah, with their average size dongs. Like this
by the way, I watched the pole vaulting final this afternoon. Yeah. And this dude, there's a dude who grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
But his mom is Swedish, so he competes for Sweden.
Oh, nice.
And he's so good. He just broke the world record tonight. He has the top 10 world records.
He broke his own world record.
He
blew away Bubka.
But what he does is these athletes, they have like in their Nike contract or whatever contract, if you break a world record, you get this bonus. Yeah. So he cleared the world record by a ton. And apparently he just like keeps breaking the world record. And he's like, I'm just going to try to move it a centimeter more.
Yeah, that's so
smart.
And
he gets a new, and he broke the world record and then it was like the end of the night for him. He will break the world record another like 10 times. It's amazing.
Because you think, you know, there's limits to, although the equipment might be better, like the pole, he's probably jumping with better pole than Sergei Bubka.
Absolutely. Without question.
I mean, the French guy's jumping with a way better pole than everybody, but this other guy.
But his competition. he's like over a foot more than, like, he's 0.4 meters better than the second, like nobody's close to him. So he can keep going up by a centimeter and be like, oh, broke a new world record. Give me another 150 grand.
I love it. Yeah. Red Bull or Nike. He's probably got, I'm watching a replay of that big old dog. Oh, I mean, here's the other thing is it's the description is, yeah, he knocked it down with his dong, but he 100% knocked it down with his dong. Like, it's not just he happened to hit it. Like, his dong was also like there while
his thigh hit it. And his dong. Yeah.
He easily clears it if his dong wasn't so big and fat. Yeah, he's got like 2 inches of girth hanging down that he would have easily cleared the bar, but his dong is so big and thick and heavy, and I'm very jealous. I wish it were attached to me. I'm sure it's beautiful. And he's losing out on, although he's probably going to get some, like, he wasn't going to win the gold medal or any medal.
He definitely wasn't going to beat the guy who won tonight. But on top of that, like, he's probably been nonstop fucking since this exit a few days ago.
Let me ask you this, Ed. What would you rather have? A big, girthy, uncut French penis or a bronze medal?
Right. And not just a beautiful, big, girthy penis, a one that everyone knows about.
Yeah.
So
a famous penis.
You hear about all the fucking at the Olympic Village. So he can just strut around Olympic Village, and for the next week, all the swimmers and every other athlete knows about him.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see it.
So he can just spend the next week fucking.
Yeah, they all gotta fuck him before they go home, like that. Sure. Like that super hot Dutch relay runner.
Yeah.
Like she's like, I need to fuck this French guy before I leave. Like what's like, and there's just a line. He's probably just got a line out of his apartment at the Olympic Village.
He's obliterating that cardboard bed.
Yes, exactly.
He's giving out splinters.
Yes, absolutely. Good for him.
Cuts left and right.
Yes. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
What else is going on, Ed?
Yeah. So a Diamondbacks announcer saw a kid that said that had a I'm a Mormon t-shirt, and he mistaken it for, and he said, oh, his shirt, I love his shirt, says I'm a moron.
Yeah. I mean,
the shirt says I can't, I'm a Mormon.
I mean, that's kind of a funny shirt.
It is. And he goes, oh, I love it.
I'm a moron.
Yeah, they had the little clip, and he just says it like coming out of the commercial break.
I mean, it's still not as bad as what Glenn Kuiper said, you know, or Tom Brandeman. Yeah. It would be funny if this guy was saying he's wearing an I'm a Moron shirt, and then Nick Castellanos hit a home run. Like that would have been perfect. Perhaps Steve Bertheum has seen the Book of Mormon one too many times. The Arizona Diamondbacks play-by-play voice made a relatively innocuous mistake.
A little lower in the article.
Yeah, let's play the clip because we need to see this. Also, I do these posts on for our handicapping venture on TikTok, Silver Point Sports. 7-1 last week, 18-4 in the last 3 weeks. I do these posts, and Drew in Phoenix helped me with this because I'm an idiot. I put captions in the post, and then when I say the team that we're picking, I'll say the team and the line, and then I'll put a little chyron on the TikTok that people can see. So if they're watching without sound or whatever, they can see the team I pick. But there's a couple of teams, like the Diamondbacks, for instance.
Yeah.
What are the Diamondbacks team colors?
It changes a lot.
It changes. I'm looking at this one and somebody's wearing the Serpentes and it's like tan and black.
But isn't sometimes like green or purple?
Yes, yes. There's green and purple. There's red and black. I don't know what their colors are. And another one is the Tampa Bay Rays. They have like five colors.
Sometimes they go like baby blue. Yes. But then sometimes it's other shit.
It's kind of like aqua. Teal, green, I don't know what fucking colors, and almost every team has red in it. You know, it's like, I don't know what colors to pick when I'm doing these teams. I think true. Okay. Let's hear the call.
All right. I found my new favorite t-shirt ever. The guy on the right. I can't. I'm a moron. There it is. I'm taking everything from the director. They'll use that. Wear it out.
It's fucking amazing. Okay. Let's do some voicemails. Oh, what's going on here? Let's push the button. Oh, there we go.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus, so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless. Shit. He's fattening out with tits.
He's not well in your knee. Okay, a couple of voicemails this week. Let's see who we heard from.
My dudes, it was not the Last Supper. It was the Feast of fucking Dionysus. Oh. I'm so sick of these goddamn Christians.
Oh, geez.
And it was Gojira who played, and it was fucking amazing.
Gojira.
With Maurice Winnett holding her head in the window of the Le Concierge. It was crazy, but yeah. Candace Cameron Burr is a fucking dumbass. It wasn't even the Last Supper. Oh. I hate everything.
Do you know anything that she was? This is the drag queen thing, right?
This was the drag queen thing that Candace Cameron was having a problem with.
Right. And we're supposed to know the difference between the Feast of Dionysus and the Last Supper. Hold on, I got to look up Feast of Dionysus.
Yeah, I only know of
images. I mean, it looks like the Last Supper, lady. Like, well, how are you supposed? It's a table with a bunch of fucking people eating at the table, and one person's in the middle.
I thought that was the Last Supper.
It looks like the Last Supper. Who's? And hold on. Look, I don't care about this, but in the drag queen one, she's got like they have a halo.
Right.
On. That's Jesus, right? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look, I don't fucking care myself, but it's an easy Like no one thing's much better known than the other thing, right?
Yeah, our point was just, why do you care so much? Just let them have their opening ceremony.
Yeah,
just don't watch,
or just don't watch. Yeah, that's me. Like I wouldn't know about it.
If I didn't watch
this podcast.
I only knew about it because the headline popped up.
Yeah, look, Tom Cruise thing. Yeah, also that. I only know about the Tom Cruise thing because we talked about it. I'm not going to watch that. Now.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it. Because it's basically just like a scene from, what are those movies? Mission Impossible.
Right.
You know, it's like, I've seen it. I've seen him racing around Paris on a motorcycle. And I've seen like one Mission Impossible. And that happened in it.
A lot.
Yeah, he runs from stuff. He fights people. Ving Rhames is there. Also, Simon Pegg, I've seen.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, Shaun of the Dead. He's great. But, like, I've seen it. It's good. The thing about Tom Cruise is, like, he's kind of annoying. But then you watch him in something, and there's a reason he's such a big movie star. Like, he's very compelling.
I would love it if he sucked. Yeah. Because then I wouldn't have to watch him, and he just kind of annoys me. But then, like, I'm sitting there watching that Top Gun Maverick. I was like, God damn, this dude knows how to make entertaining movies.
Know. He's good. You know,
he's good at stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, Katie Shady. Look who it is again. Look, she
loves doing the twofer.
She does. Maybe she's upset about something. You know, she's in her car. She's driving to her box. She goes to boxing. She's probably driving to her boxing with her dogs in the car, and she's listening to the podcast, which I appreciate. She's compelled to call in. And look, she's no Manuel here. You know, she brings real content every single week.
She doesn't take the full 3 minutes to not.
That's right.
Get a point across.
Yeah, she brings the energy, which I appreciate. Okay, here she is again.
Sorry, I'm calling twice. But I think what you guys want to say about drag queens is not that you're morally opposed to them. It's just that they're not very interesting.
Yes.
It's not a very interesting form of entertainment to watch somebody play putting on the hits and lip sync to TV next. It's not. Like, it's fine if you want to do it. And I know a lot of people like it. And I have a lot of friends who do it and all that kind of stuff. And that's great. But all these people get so upset and so weird about it. And it's really just kind of boring.
I agree.
Like, drag queens. Yeah. Like, what year is this? Not 1982. Like, we all know what drag queens are. We see them all the time. They're totally harmless. And they're super basic and boring.
Yes. It's not for me.
But, yeah. Anyway, this Candace Cameron Bure. She's just like a hillbilly. Yeah. Anyway, bye.
Yeah. And look, I feel bad for Valerie Bure because he's definitely not getting any mouth stuff ever. Like there's
never,
no mouth. And there's probably a lot of Kirk time happening.
Yeah, Uncle Kirk showing up.
Yeah.
Hey, did I tell you this about the story of Jonah and the whale? He's bumming everyone out. Yeah. Look, the point of that story was really not to comment on drag queens. To me, that's like NCIS. It's just something that exists that I don't consume.
I'm not really aware. There's a lot of it, but I don't see it.
It's like a CBS show. I just don't watch it, but I just don't care. But this was mostly to shit on Candace Cameron. That was the point of
I'm
that
with you.
Story was.
Yes. Here's another one.
Hey guys, Super Lee here.
Oh, Super Lee.
Just
Super
want to
Lee.
Say hey, thanks to Ed for calling in to the after show. The first after show on YouTube last Friday. It was a pretty cool, surreal experience. And one thing that doesn't get enough credit is Ed's head of hair.
Oh yeah.
Guy it's is thick. Just absolutely
it's kind of bullshit.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, that's true. So I want to say thank you. Brian, looking forward to having you on there.
You do?
And just really just
cut your with the clippers? You just buzz
I
it?
Do a little clippers, scissors, fade situation.
How do you get
do
the it back? And then,
I do my best and then I tell I have Michelle take a look and she'll be like,
clean it up.
Spot.
Yeah.
You missed a spot. I'm like, you know what would be cooler if you learned to cut? And she's like, no. But yeah, I just, whatever.
Nice. Well, you can do that when you have a beautiful, thick head of hair like you do with some J. Jonah Jameson. Oh my God, my mouse died. Thought something was going on. Here we go. I'm going to use my old school here.
Humbled to be able to hang out with Dola and Ben, so many other people as we figure out this after show thing. And we did spend a healthy amount of time discussing the podcast. So Brian, you don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
Thank you.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
I felt bad because I wanted to make an appearance on their very first show, but my dad was here visiting, so I can't. And then I told him I can't do it this weekend, Ed, because Fan's coming into town and we're having a gay weekend together. You want to hear what we're doing?
What?
Yeah. This is a pretty gay weekend. So he's coming to town. Fan, for those that you don't know, he's a
wonderful
one of person. He's a great guy, and he's one of my two oldest friends in the world. So, and my other buddy Spence was supposed to come, but he's moving his daughter to college. So Fan's coming into town on Thursday. We're going to hang out here Thursday night. And then Friday we've procured a hotel room for the two of us. Also, Ed, very difficult to find a double hotel room.
Just
one room with two beds.
Really?
All the rooms. I don't know if it's just this part of LA or whatever. Me too. I've stayed in many in my life, but not the recently. These two queens need two queens, but we had to call around a few different hotels. We got a hotel room, two queens. We're going Friday night. We're going to see a country artist that we both like. Charlie Crockett is playing at the Greek Theater, which is a fantastic venue. So we're going to a concert together.
Wouldn't that be cool if Sonny Crockett showed up at that
concert? He might be there. I'll look. Speaking of guys with big dongs, yeah. Ooh. So we're going to go see Charlie Crockett Friday night. And then the next day, we're going to hang out by the pool, have some beers and whatnot, and then we're going to go to the Dodger game on Saturday night. So Friday night, Charlie Crockett, Saturday night, Dodger game, Brian and Fan's gay weekend. I can't wait. It's very exciting. Sounds
wonderful.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Okay, couple of voicemail or emails.
Oh, one thing. When I clicked down, because I was watching a game with my son, so I didn't join them at the start of the show. But when I clicked in, it was funny. I didn't think it was Lee, but one of the guys was like, yeah, I'm not like a pussy like Brian and Ed. I don't know what they were discussing, but I was like, wow. Yeah, I guess you guys are discussing us. But
yeah, geez.
At the same time, I wasn't insulted because, I am a pussy.
I am kind of a pussy about a lot of things, yeah. Like, they were probably talking about me trying to pick up that rat in my backyard.
Because I was saying I was scared of a dead mouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Terrifying. That might be it. So I went last Friday night, friend of the show, Darbin the OC. He did that thing where, I was at the, because my dad was in town. I was at our pizza place here on the corner where we get beer sometimes. Okay. And there's certain regulars there. And one of the regulars was there, and we have sort of like a running joke about him. So I took a picture of him.
Is this the guy that joins in on your conversation?
No, but he was there too. And he's clearly gotten the picture because he does not, because I ignore him every time he tries to talk to us. So he doesn't do it anymore, but he was there too. So I text Arvin the OC a picture, and I go, and he goes, says something like, I wish I could join you, but we're having like a little party thing tonight. And he's like, you should come over. And I'm like, oh, you're inviting me to a party that's already happening? That's the most uninvite that you could possibly happen. Like, right. You've known this was going on. You know I exist. If you wanted me to come to it, you would have said something before it actually started. And then he's like, well, I thought you would say no. And I'm like, that's not an excuse. Yeah, that's not why you invite.
If he thought you'd say no, then that's an easy invite. So you're not insulting anyone. Exactly. You're like, well, he's going to say no anyway. Just invite him.
Exactly. I did end up going over there. And Darbin the OC has a pool. And so I go, hey. Where we live, there's a lot of wildlife. I go, how often do you get a rat in this pool? And you know what he said to me? You know what he said to me, Ed?
What?
About once a month.
Okay. So then
don't get a pool. Get it filled in. You gotta get it filled in.
No more.
Yeah. You drain the water out of it.
And then you get a truck with rocks. In that pool after that?
Yeah. You get cement. You get some cement truck to come And instead of water, you fill the whole fucking thing with cement. Boom, no more rats. And I go, what do you do? And he goes, well, they're not like in the pool. He's like, they're like in the filter thing. Okay, yeah. And I go,
no chlorine's fixing this problem.
No. But also, you got to deal with the carcass. I go, what do you do with the thing? And he goes, oh, I just take the little catcher, the little basket. That's how stupid I am. I couldn't think of the word basket. So I said catcher. And then I thought of basket. I take the little basket and I go and I dump it in the trash. He goes, yeah, I heard you on your podcast. He's like, you're a fucking pussy. And I'm like, yes, I am.
That's the point.
Oh, I still have a picture of it in my mind. It's like little dead legs and ugh.
Yeah, but we're just honoring our ancestors who were fighting the plague.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Once a month. Okay. Here's the emails. This one, the subject line. Flight attendants with 6 exclamation points.
Uh-oh.
Hey, guys. Listening to your podcast with my husband. Can't believe you say the flight attendants have it easier than the gate agents. LOL. Flight attendant here. We definitely have the hardest job. Passengers start by getting mad at TSA and baggage handling, gate checks, and agents who say flight attendants will take care of it. We get yelled at for hours over catering problems, seat problems, etc. And then dealing with sick people and on while being paid jack shit. LOL. Anyway, have a great day. My husband Jim in Houston and I get a laugh out of this United Airlines. Biohazard conversation. Thanks. Very tired / underappreciated flight attendant, Don.
Don, you have our sympathies.
You do. Look.
It's a tough gig. I know it's a tough gig.
And the reason we know that gate agents have a harder job is because I was talking on this podcast about how it's bullshit that the flight attendants, who are very low wage hourly workers,
are treated like shit by their companies.
They don't get paid until you fucking close the door, which seems illegal because they're definitely working while the plane loads before they close the door.
Was it the Supreme Court or somebody just ruled that was it Amazon? They're allowed to like inspect to make sure the employees don't steal from them.
Oh yeah.
But then they don't have to pay them for the half hour they're making them wait there.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
This is the same bullshit as making a flight attendant not get paid.
Yes.
Like if they're at the airport, they should be getting paid.
Wait, you're telling me that some branch of the United States government found a way to fuck workers? Ed, in this country?
Yeah, I know. Wow, I know. I hope you were sitting down.
That is crazy. So yeah, it was only at that point that our dear friend David Bray, who happens to be a gate agent in Salt Lake City, told us that actually no. While yes, the flight attendants are underpaid, and he sympathizes with flight attendants. He despises the pilots who he's called overpaid bus drivers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glorified bus drivers.
They're full of shit, those guys.
Yeah. But it's David Bray who alerted us to the fact that actually gate agent, hardest job in the airline business.
Team Don and Team Bray.
Oh, I love Don. Oh, absolutely. I love them both. They're both great people. Don, that made me very happy. It was great to hear from you. Please feel free to email us anytime with any airline. We love talking airline issues here on the show. It's very fun.
Sure.
Okay, here's another email. Cannonball Run Edition. Since you guys really need to do a review of this one, how fucking old at the time, Dom DeLuise? What's his age? I can't explain. He was young back when he did that thing. Still alive, and I don't know why.
this fucking guy.
Ed, Cannonball Run came out in... Hold on. I'm seeing Cannonball Run 2 here. Hold on a second. Just hold on a second. I'm going to get it together. Cannonball Run 1981. Cannonball Run came out. Now, Dom DeLuise, was he a comic? Like, what was his...
He was like a professional buddy of Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I think he was a comedic actor was like...
The, yeah.
I think he was... And he probably was like a talk show guy. Like,
yes, that's
kind of like Paul Lynch.
Game show.
Like, I don't think, I don't think he was a stand up comic, but I think he was just in some movies as like the comic relief.
Yes. Personality. Now we know. Yeah.
Also father of a dear friend.
That's right. That's right. I was going to say, that's right. The great Peter DeLuise.
Yeah. So he
likely had some spit roast with Johnny Depp.
I think he had several actor sons that like, Peter was on Jump Street, and there was like another one in something else.
Yes, David DeLuise, possibly. In 1981, Ed, when he was sitting shotgun with Burt Reynolds in the Cannonball Run, which is a movie we absolutely need to review, and I feel like that's a good Travis Rogers.
Yeah, that would be
best appearance. Yeah, he would have
I'm just picking. I'm not looking up his age. But I'm just looking at a picture. Okay, so he was wearing that like he almost was rocking a Luigi look.
Yeah,
the big soup strainer and like the cap.
Yeah, remember that there was a Cajun chef, Paul Prudhomme.
Oh yeah,
that basically had the Dom DeLuise look. There was a few of these guys. There was a Dom DeLuise look with like the newsboy cap and the beard. Like he had a certain look. Back in the day. How old do you think he was in 1981? Because I got a guess.
All right. I'm looking at it here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say we know he's not as old as he looks.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'll downgrade it by a bit. I'm going to say he's 50. He's a double nickel here.
Yeah, 55. That's about right. You're not far off. Born August 1st, 1933. That would have made him 48, 47 at the time of shooting. That's not too bad.
I shaved off like 8 years.
Yeah. No, I know. He looked, I just looked, Ed. He died in 2009. He was only 75 when he died. I was thinking he was 60 in 1985, you know, like, yeah. Okay. Let's hold on. I got this mouse isn't working. I have to keep going back to the trackpad here. Hold on. Okay. How fucking rich is Roger Moore? Was Roger Moore? Wait, that's not it. Oh, how fucking rich is on a different board now? Hold on. I really got to figure this out right here.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out, I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion, or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed, Roger Moore, the prissy Bond, or the Bond that didn't like to get his tuxedo dirty.
Yeah.
He was View to a violent. Kill. Right? Yes.
Yeah. So he started. So I'm like, for me, my kind of default when I just don't feel like concentrating on something, I love putting on Bond. I love James Bond movies.
Yeah.
And so Roger Moore started with a really good one. Live and Let
Octopussy?
Die.
Octopussy? Live and Let Die. That is a good one.
His first one.
Yep.
And we've done How Fucking Old, because when he died, like, he was not that old, but he looked ancient in View to a Kill, his final one.
Yeah. Yep.
It looked like he was like with his daughter, the love interest in that one. But he wasn't even that old. He just tanned. So he like,
he lived aged. Pretty hard,
but
a lot of shaking martinis. Yeah.
But yeah, like, so he had a 10-year run as Bond and he did some other stuff, but like he was Bond. But what kind of money? I mean, the whole thing, the reason why Sean Connery like bailed on that franchise because he's like, you guys are really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like they're playing hardball with them.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing in this day and age, he wasn't getting paid enough. But at the same time, he was like a famous movie star for many years. So I'm going to say he was worth like 15.
Yeah.
20 million. I'll say 20 million.
I think that's a good guess because the
like you weren't making 20 million a film back.
No. No, this guy's heyday was in the 80s. He's known for one thing and he's not, it's not like he's Tom Cruise. He's not a producer on the movie. He's just a hired gun to play a character that's he's not even the only guy. He's the third guy to play the character. You know, like it's not
right.
It's not his, and he's not really known for anything else. Wasn't he the saint? Is that when the English?
Yes.
Yeah. So TV guy. So, I can't imagine he's worth that much. We're apparently very wrong, Ed, because at the time of his death in 2017, Roger Moore was reported to be worth $110 million.
Whoa. That means he like owned a vineyard or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he was getting paychecks.
No. Like,
he owned some stuff that generated money.
I'm looking right here. Film career at MGM. I mean, he did act for a long time. He was on TV, but that's not that kind of money. Further film, personal life. Health struggles, philanthropy. I mean, he gave away a lot of money. He had a lot of, oh no. Hold on. No, he had back end on these movies, Ed. A View to a Kill. He earned $5 million plus 5% of the U.S. gross. Octopussy.
See, I didn't think the Broccoli family did that kind of thing. No, I thought that was Connery's whole beef with them.
Yes, I know.
He was 57 in View to a Kill.
Yeah.
But he like moved very wooden. I mean, he just, he looked bad in that movie. It was still a fun movie with weird Christopher Walken and Grace Jones and stuff, but he's weird in that.
So he had a good agent because Live and Let Die, he makes $1 million, which is good money at the time. Man with the Golden Gun, $1 million. Spy Who Loved Me, $1 million. Moonraker, $4 million.
Wow, because Moonraker was the response to Star Wars one where James Bond goes to space. But like that's like Moonraker's like 77 or 8 probably. He's making four. That's great. That's
good money. But then he must have realized he had him by the balls because For Your Eyes Only, he takes a salary of $3 million. But he said, give me 5% of the U.S. gross on that. Octopussy, $4 million, 5% on the back end. View to a Kill, $5 million plus 5% of the back end. So that's some big, because he's still making money on that today in death.
Sure.
You know, like those are still on and Turner that, classic movies or whatever.
And that Duran Duran song is a banger.
Oh, yeah, it's a hit. That was a big hit. Okay, hold on. I got to get the board back and... How far? Oh, Daily's Choice. Dean Martin or Burt Reynolds?
Daily's Choice. It's a choice I make. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
It's a tough choice here. Now, I recall that there's a very famous, I believe it was maybe Cosmopolitan magazine or Playgirl, Playgirl, Bert. Where Burt Reynolds was on the cover, nude, but he's got his hand like between his legs and his dong pushed in there.
Yeah.
So you didn't really have to, you know, he wasn't really showing his dick. And now he was the biggest star in the world. Now I will say this: Burt Reynolds showed his dick to plenty of ladies back in the day. This guy was a lay.
He put in work.
Man, I just saw a clip on him, a clip of him on Instagram, and he was at like some function in Florida, and he was getting interviewed by like the local TV girl, and he was drunk as shit, and she's like, and she's like, you played football here at Florida State. What was that like? And he's like,
probably not as nice as playing a little bit with you later. Like he was openly trying to fuck her on television and she was so uncomfortable. But you know, he definitely did fuck her later. Now, I will say this, not to sway you, but I happen to know, and I'm texting you right now, that Dean Martin's dong is widely available on the internet. And so you can Daily's Choice it right now. And I've sent it to you. So I don't like, I don't want you that to color your decision.
Oh, I have never seen this.
There's Dean Martin's dong right there. So who is it? Dean Martin, Burt Reynolds, Ed, take us through your thought process.
Look, there's something special about the aura of the Rat Pack and everything.
Yeah, yep.
But at the same time, like, legendary Coxman. You're always going to want, Hollywood legend Coxman, like one of the all-time Hollywood Coxman.
Yeah.
Checking him out.
Yeah.
Just, it's not, like, I can respect... Okay. Yeah, Dean Martin's piece and everything, but
clearly not Jewish.
Nope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a nice piece. Solid piece.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. But Burt Reynolds is the call here, right? I mean, he's one of the great Coxmen of all time. He's one of the biggest movie stars of all time. That's who you pick.
You go for the famous dick. Like, you know,
from your mouth to God's ears. One. Yes. 100%. She can't play the song. Who are you scooping? Adrienne Barbeau or Tara Buchman? I don't know. I know Adrienne Barbeau. She was a Bond girl, right?
Yeah, I have to look up Tara Buchman.
I don't know who that is either. I haven't seen the movie in quite a while. I can't highlight because my mouse doesn't work.
I'm trying to.
Don't make me type. My God, man. It's highlighting the whole sentence. Here we go. Tara Buchman. That's not a hot girl's name, by the way, Tara Buchman. So you're taking the French chick over Tara Buchman anytime. Although Tara Buchman, that's a worker's name. So you want to have sex with somebody, you might want to have a worker. Oh, this chick's pretty hot in an 80s kind of way. Tara Buchman.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah. Oh, she was on Chips.
Yeah.
Marcy Pendleton on Chips. Oh, I know who she was. Yeah.
Adrienne Barbeau.
Okay. Yeah, come on. She's a real bombshell.
Yeah. She, didn't she play the Rodney Dangerfield's wife kick who was cheating on him at the beginning of Back to School?
Yes. Yes. I might go Tara Buchman here, Ed. I think I'm a Buchman man.
She's very much of a time.
Whoa, this Adrienne Barbeau was voluptuous.
Yeah, upper body strength.
Extremely. Whoa, is she okay? Like,
probably has some back health.
Is this a health condition? It's very concerned for her, Adrienne
Barbeau. Yeah.
I'm going to Tara Buchman, Ed. What do you think?
I mean, I'm going Barbeau.
Yeah, okay, fair. Okay, thank you. That's from our dear friend LCU Lala. Here's another one. You excited for this, Brian? Oh, you son of a bitch. It's just like a headline. Seeking out Dylan experts. Your uncelebrated expertise about the basement tapes can finally be put to use. A trailer for the new Bob Dylan biopic starring Timothy Chalamet was released, and people seem pleasantly surprised. So I found the trailer, Ed, and I'm gonna review it now. I have not seen it. Hold on, there's probably a commercial.
Remember, this was being filmed in and around Hoboken, a lot of it.
Yeah, like a couple months ago.
Yeah, it was somewhat recent, but I don't think I shared this one. So before they started filming scenes with Chalamet, they were setting up.
Yeah.
And you know when like a storefront goes out of business and you're like curious about what the next thing was?
Yep. Yep.
So there was like a few blocks from my house and Michelle and I were like, oh, you know, hopefully it's something of use to us and not just another nail salon or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a store and it's like a clothing store, and there are stickers in the window, and it's like slacks, $10. And I was like, Michelle, what the fuck? There's a store selling slacks for $10? Like, who opens a store selling slacks in this day and age? And it was for that movie. Bob Dylan goes to or works at a slacks store or something. But I was like really annoyed. And then I was more annoyed when I found out it's not even a real storefront. It just took an abandoned thing and made it a Timothée Chalamet set piece.
Look, he ruins everything, Ed. Like, it's just, you know, I hear people talking about Dune. Who are we just talking about, Ed? Burt Reynolds, college football player, Florida State.
Holy shit.
A real man's man. Yes?
I'm looking.
Okay. Yeah?
The start of this trailer?
Yeah?
My building is in it.
Stop it. Hold on. You said they were shooting like right outside or at the park.
There's a park. He's walking along like a fence on a park, and there's a building and lights in the background. That's my building.
Wow. Okay. Hold on. Let's play it. I'm going to get it. But my point is, we used to have Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And now we have Timothée Chalamet, who's, you know, it's like basically female. If you look at him, like he's not what you would call a man's man type. And look, if that's what you're into, that's fine. It's not what I'm into as a movie star. I'll take Burt Reynolds. Okay, here we go. Burt Reynolds should have played Bob Dylan. That's a Bob Dylan I'd watch.
Right there. That's my
bet.
Let me tell you a little story.
To the left by the tree?
To the left. Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. That's my building. Brush with greatness.
A few months back, my friend Woody Guthrie and I.
Here, let me ask you a question too. Is Ed Norton supposed to be playing Pete Seeger here? It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Edward Norton. I like Edward Norton. I consider a very good actor.
He's a good actor. Yeah.
He's a good actor. But I don't know if it's like the type of roles he takes. I look at him and I go, oh, there's Ed Norton. He's really acting, you know, like he's like, I always feel like he's acting. I never feel like he's just the guy, despite the fact that I like him. But maybe it's just because I know who he is too well. I'm not explaining it well. It's
a matter. We met a young man. He dropped in on us out of nowhere and
he played us a song. Yeah.
In that moment, we got a feeling we were getting a glimpse of the future.
Where have you been, my blue-eyed son? Oh, where have you been, my...
Well, I paused it. That's Timothée Chalamet doing the singing, right?
Do we know? I assume so.
Yeah, I think so.
My darling young one.
It's a good one for the trailer, because this is one of the all-time bangers of Bob Dylan. Hard Rain's Gonna Fall.
I stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways.
I mean, he does kind of look like him.
I stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans.
I mean, he looks a lot like him, Ed.
To me, they
gave him a nose.
I respect Bob Dylan and everything. Yeah. It doesn't seem like a terribly exciting movie. Like,
I know. I don't really. Yeah.
I wouldn't care regardless of the actor. I'm just.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I get it. It was like the folk movement and like whatever. Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm not too into biopics in general. And look, he wanted to get famous. He hitchhiked it from Hibbing, Minnesota, or however he got there. He went to Greenwich Village and he was playing in coffee houses and he got discovered. What's the story there? Now he's rich as fuck and drunk all the time.
And there's another trailer I keep seeing out there. It's the new Blake Lively movie.
What's going on with that?
And that was also filmed. Remember, I was telling the story that I watched a scene where she's like, walking into a store that she, I think she owns a flower shop in the movie, and they're like the grand opening of that. And they show that in the trailer. But that was when I was just walking down the street and they're like, oh, you can't be here. We're filming. And so I stood on the other street corner and they're like, no, we need pedestrian. I was like, this takes place in current day. I can't walk down the street. And they made me move three times because I guess I was fucking up their shot.
Because they thought people would confuse it for the new Spider-Man because J. Jonah Jameson's walking down the street. You know, that's the issue. I don't like Timothée Chalamet, but I mean, he seems like they kind of nailed it with the casting. He very much seems like Bob Dylan, which is, look, well, that's not easy for me to say, but I'm being honest. That's what I do here. I give you my honest opinion, okay? And he looks like, look, they might have got the right guy for this. That's all. I probably won't see it. I do like Bob Dylan. Yeah, I know. I do like Bob Dylan. Hard Rain's Gonna Fall is probably my favorite Bob Dylan song. So, hey, look, it is what it is.
If you see her just say hello, that's a good song.
That's a good one, too. Tangled Up in Blue, also good. He's got some good songs. He's got some low lows. You heard Lay Lady Lay? You know, like, that's not such a great song. But whatever. The guy's a legend. Okay, let's talk some not sports. What button is that? It's this one.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment. Oh, yeah.
Ed, what is going on in the world of things that are not, in fact, sports?
A 6-year-old girl was denied a passport because she's named after a Game of Thrones character.
Hey, fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do with Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stew, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's Choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.